Amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Praise God. We thank God. We thank God for this time. And let's go into the Word. Let's go into the Word. So, let me give a disclaimer before I start today's Word. If you want to understand the Word, because I have seen this pattern of the Lord, that whenever there are few people, I take mysteries. Every time I cannot take mysteries to explain the mysteries of heaven. So sometimes I stick to things that people can understand, but sometimes we have to explain the mysteries. And so when I was praying for today, the Lord asked me to unveil a mystery. So to when I am speaking a mystery, for you to understand it, you need to be empty. You need to be at a state of stillness. Keep your worries, your burden aside, and focus on the Lord. Only then you will be able to understand a mystery. Okay, when we come to the Lord, we empty ourselves, and when I go to the Lord to hear His voice. I have many things in life to tell Him, that you speak on this, you speak on that, or I want to have an answer on this. But what I do is, instead of doing those things, I empty myself. I said, Lord, not what I want to hear, but what you want to speak. And then the counsel of the Lord, the heart of the Lord can be revealed to me, because I don't go to God with an agenda that I want to hear on this thing, or I want an answer on this thing. When I empty myself and tell the Lord, Lord, it's not what I want to have or what I want to hear, it is what you want to speak to me. Your heart, reveal it to me. So when you empty yourself of all your burdens and questions and everything, you keep it aside, you throw it in the garbage, you come to the Lord can reveal His heart to you. There are many few people who do that. And that's why there are very few people who know the heart of God, who know the counsel and the mind of the Lord. Not everyone knows what is going on in the mind of the Lord. Hallelujah. Only those who can keep their worries, their burdens, their problems aside and come to the Lord and tell God, you speak to me. I have nothing, no restrictions. You just reveal your heart. I want to know you. So then He reveals His counsel. So when we speak a mystery, that is how people need to prepare their heart and sit in a meeting. Otherwise, you will not get it. Okay? Hallelujah. So, what I want to speak on tonight is I want to start something that I will continue afterwards, and which is the dimensions of the fire of God. The dimensions of the fire of God. There are dimensions to the fire of God. Hallelujah. The fire of God is not singular, and its functionaries is not single. There are many functions that the fire of God, or many purposes that the fire of God accomplishes. And to accomplish those multiple purposes, there are multiple dimensions of the fire of God. But I will come to the dimensions of the fire of God at the later part of a sermon. So I want to start off with the first time when fire is mentioned in the Bible. The first time when fire is mentioned in the Bible is in the book of Genesis, chapter number 3. And then from Genesis chapter number 3, verse 24, we are going to look at that fire. And from that fire, we are going to interpret two dimensions of the fire tonight, for tonight. Okay? From the book of Genesis, chapter number 3, verse number 24, it says, so he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden, and a flaming sword, underline flaming sword, that is the fire. The sword which was set on fire, the flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life. Okay, so here is fire, which is not alone, but it's on the sword, it's with the sword. So the first time the fire is mentioned in the Bible is in this place, where God set a flaming sword, a fire along with the sword. The sword was on fire to go on every side to protect what? To protect the tree of life. Okay, so this fire was set there to protect the tree of life. And this fire mentioned is the flaming sword that is the combination of the word and the spirit. The fire signifies the spirit, the Holy Spirit, and the sword signifies the word. It's a combination of the word and what? The spirit of God. So we are going to interpret two dimensions of the fire of God from this very fire, from this very occurrence where the fire is mentioned by God himself in the Bible, where he places the flaming sword to protect the tree of life. But to understand those two dimensions, we have to understand the context of what the fire is doing in Genesis chapter number 3 verse 24. Okay, so we got to understand what the fire is doing here. What the fire is doing is, it is guarding and protecting the tree of life. From whom it is protecting the tree of life? It is protecting the tree of life from Adam and Eve. Because God said, if they eat the fruit of this tree, they will not die and they will become one of us. So that sword has been placed to protect the tree of life from Adam and Eve, and actually from Satan himself. Because now Adam and Eve have been admitted or have been deployed into a new government, the government of Satan, and no longer they are working dedicatedly or surrendered completely to the government of God, but they have stepped in and declared by their actions their allegiance to the government of Satan. And to protect the tree of life from Satan, God placed the flaming sword, the fire there which goes on every side. Hallelujah. So to interpret the fire, the two dimensions of fire from that scripture, first of all, we have to understand the context. What is the tree of life and why God does not want Adam and Eve to eat the fruit of the tree of life? What is the tree of life? Hallelujah. Are we together until now? Okay. So what is the tree of life? What is the tree of life? Let us look into the scripture. Before we go into the scripture, let me give you some pointers. What is the tree of life? Remember, I have always told you that trees signify government. And here, the first interpretation of the tree of life is a government. Okay, the tree of life is the eternal government of the kingdom of heaven, which is a mystery, which is hidden, which is encapsulated in a mystery. Write it down. The tree of life is the eternal government of the kingdom of heaven, which is a mystery, which is encapsulated in a mystery. Okay. Then the second thing about the tree of life is, the tree is the centerpiece of the parable that can explain the mysteries of God's sovereign and eternal rule and dominion through his wisdom. Let me come again. Don't worry, we will go into the explanation and it will become simple for you. So the tree is the centerpiece of the parable that can explain the mysteries of God's sovereign and eternal rule and dominion through his wisdom. The government, the mystery of the government in the tree of life has the mystery of how and through what God rules, God reigns over the face not only of the earth, but of the heavens, of the earth, of the underworld, of the universe. Hallelujah. The stars, the sun, the moon, everything operate at the command of the Lord. That is the power of God. He holds the stars in its orbit spaces. He holds the planets in its orbit. He holds the universe. Hallelujah. That is the power of God. That is the sovereign rule of God. Without the allowance of God, nothing moves from its place. He rules. And how does he manage this? For a person to manage a company, let's take into consideration a company like Amazon, or like, what is that company of Elon Musk? Tesla. For that person to manage that company, they have to work day and night. But we are not talking about a secular company. We are talking about the operation of the whole universe, along with the earth, along with the realm of human beings. And God rules over it. God, the dominion of God is over it. Anytime he wants, he can do anything by his wisdom, by applying his wisdom. So that is the mystery hidden in this tree of life. Are we understanding? And actually, the tree is the centerpiece of most of the parables to explain mysteries. You know, last night I told you that so many of the parables are centered around agriculture. Sowing of seed, a fruit, the leaves, abiding, branch, vine. Everything revolves around the tree, around the vineyard, the fields, the agriculture thing. Hallelujah. So the tree is the centerpiece of the parable that can explain the mystery of God's sovereign and eternal rule and dominion through his wisdom. The third thing, and let us go ahead into the scripture to understand the tree of life. The third thing is, the tree of life is a hidden mystery of God's dominion on the face of the earth. The tree of life is a hidden mystery of God's dominion on the face of the earth. Hallelujah. Keep these three things in your mind and let me take you to the scriptures now. Okay? Hallelujah. To understand the tree of life is not only mentioned in Genesis, it's mentioned elsewhere in the Bible. It's mentioned in Ezekiel 47. It's mentioned also in Revelation chapter number 22. So we are going to go to Revelation chapter number 22. Let's go to Revelation chapter number 22. Revelation chapter number 22, verse number 1. And he showed me a pure... Chapter number 22, verse number 1. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding from the throne of God and of the Lamb. In the middle of its street and on either side of the river, was the what? Tree of life. Now here comes the tree of life in heaven. On either side of the river, there was the tree of life. On either side of the river, in the middle of the street, on either side of the river, there was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits. Underline 12 fruits. I will explain what is the mystery behind the 12 fruits, the meaning of it. Each tree yielding its fruit every month. Underline that. We will also understand that. The leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. So this tree, listen to me, this tree of life is intended to have a global impact. Impact on the nations of the world. Okay, it's God's administration of the leaves of the tree. Now we will come to the fruit, to the leaves. And the Bible says the leaves of the tree are what? For the healing of the nations. Okay, let me come to that. The tree is administrating the power, the dominion, the healing, and the administration of God to the face of the earth. The tree is the mystery. How God exercises rule and dominion over the face of the earth. Okay, so coming to the trees. Now, the Bible says, the verse that we read, it suggests in that word that there are two trees of life now. Okay, on either side of the river, on one side and on the other side. The Bible shows us that there is not one but two trees of life. Now, this tree of life it is described as a tree. Tree is a element of the parable, but it's not the reality that can be seen in heaven. Okay, are we understanding, people of God? Like when Jesus says the sower sows the seed, the sower is the element of the parable, but in reality the sower is Jesus Christ. The sower is something else. Okay, like the seed, it's the element of the parable, but the mystery behind the seed is the seed in reality is the word of God. Are we understanding? Like the wayside, they are wayside and stone in the elements of the parable, but in reality they are the types of heart, types of mind that people have in reality. Are we understanding parables? Parables are the picturization of a mystery, but it's not the reality. For you to understand the reality, the Holy Spirit needs to take you through the veil of the parable to understand what are the elements of the parable actually in reality. Hallelujah. Amen. If you are with me, say amen. Hallelujah. Are you understanding, people?
Amen.
Amen. Okay. So,
amen.
So the tree is the element of a parable. The tree is the element of the parable. It's not the reality of the mystery. What is tree? Okay. And now there are tree on either side. Here is the throne of God, for example. Here is the throne of God. And from the throne flows a river. And on either side of the river, there are two trees. Imagine the picture. Imagine the picture. And then the Bible says the tree now are bearing 12 fruit. Okay. What are the 12 fruit? What is the number 12? We have to look at the number 12. The 12 fruit are the 12 throne position on either side of the throne of God. The tree of life signifies the council team of heaven, which have 12 fruit on one side and 12 fruit on either side. Now, why it is divided into 12 and into 12? Then remember Revelation chapter number 4 and 5, when John was taken up to the throne room of God, he saw 24 elders. 24 elders were seated in a way, 12 were on one side and 12 were on this side. Hallelujah. They are the fruit of the tree of life. Okay. They are the fruit of this tree. Now, what is that 12 fruit? 12 fruit, to understand the 12 fruit are very important. The 12 fruit, write it down, the 12 fruit represent 12 positions in the realms of the throne room to carry out the dominion of God's kingdom. The 12 fruit represents 12 positions in the realm of the throne room to carry out the dominion of God's kingdom. When God wanted to establish a nation that will dominate the whole earth, He chose 12 tribes. Okay? He gave birth to 12 tribes through which Israel would become a nation of priesthood to dominate the whole earth. That was 1 month. Okay? Remember that the tree are bearing fruit every month. Okay? Stay with me. That is 1 month. Then when God wanted to exercise the government of Jesus. Okay, God wanted to exercise and make Jesus the Lord over the face of the earth. He chose 12 men. He chose 12 disciples. So 12 is the number of God's system of dominion. 12 is the number of God's system of dominion. Are we understanding? Now I cannot give you all the names of the 12 people, of the 24 people. Now, stay with me. Are we understanding until now? The tree executes dominion through its fruit, and the fruit are the 12 thrones. The fruit are the 12 people sitting on the thrones in the council meeting of God. So that the way the tree exercises its dominion is by the fruit of the tree. And the Bible says this tree of life has 12 fruit. This tree of life has 12 fruit. And the 12 fruit are the throne positions and the people on that thrones whom God uses to exercise his dominion. To exercise his dominion and rule over the face of the earth. Are we together? Now, if you ask me, Brother Raul, who are there on the 12 thrones? That is there in the Bible. Matthew's chapter number 19. And verse number 27 and 28. Matthew 19, 27 and 28. Then Peter answered and said to him, "See, we have left all and followed you. Therefore, what shall we have?" Peter is asking Jesus, "What shall we have?" Because these apostles, chosen by Jesus, left everything to follow Jesus. Even their family, their wives, their children, their property, everything. So Jesus said to them, "Assuredly, I say to you, that in the regeneration, when the Son of Man sits on the throne of his glory, you who have followed me will also sit on 12 thrones." Okay? Will also sit on 12 thrones, judging the 12 tribes of Israel. Why will they sit on throne? To execute the jurisdiction of the justice system of God over human beings. Hallelujah. To execute justice, to execute legislation, to execute the rules, the jurisdiction of the justice system of God on human beings. And here it says on the 12 tribes of Israel, on the people of Israel. So we know one of the 12 fruit is the 12 apostles, okay, who walked with the Lord. Are we understanding? Hallelujah. Now come back to Revelation 22. Come back there in verse number 2. Let me read that again. So on either side of the river was the tree of life, which bore 12 fruits. And then it says, each tree yielding its fruit every month. Now there are two interpretations to that very sentence. That each tree yielding or producing its fruit every month. There are two interpretations to that sentence, to that part of the scripture. The first interpretation is, There are only 2 months. There are only 2 months. Now, when we think, oh, every month means 12 months in a year, that is how the earth, that is how the humans calculate days and months and time. But as per the times of heaven, the calculation is different. Hallelujah. You know, the Bible says when the angel was speaking to Daniel, he said, time and half a time shall pass. Then 2000 something days shall pass. The calculations of heaven. I don't have the time, and you might not understand those things, those mysteries, if I teach you the calculation of the days of heaven. But let me take you to a verse in the Bible. Okay, I think, yes, that verse is in 2 Peter. Let me take you to a verse in the Bible. 2 Peter. Now, you got to understand that the months in heaven are not calculated as it is calculated on earth. It's different. Okay? And 2 Peter chapter number 3. Chapter number 3, verse number 8. Verse number 8. See what it says. It says, "But beloved, do not forget this one thing, that with the Lord, one day is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day." Hallelujah. Amen. So one day for the Lord can be 1,000 years, and 1,000 years can be a one day to Him. The calculations of heaven, the calculation of time is different. You can go in the realms of God and you can see what will happen in 1,000 years just in the time span of one day as per the earth. Hallelujah. Moses, how many years did he live? He started his ministry around 70 years. Okay, around 80 years. And then he lived around, I'm not sure, I forgot, 120 years or 130 years, something like that. Okay. His lifespan was 130 years. But the revelations that he wrote in Genesis was in a span of more than 1,000 years. He wrote Genesis. Okay. And in Genesis, the longest lifespan of the person is of whom? Methuselah. Okay, and then he lived, I think, 936 years, something like that. I'm not going into details, but I am trying to explain you. Now, if Moses traveled through all those things in Genesis and wrote the things in Genesis, that means in the realm of the spirit, Moses has traveled and seen things of the span of more than 1,000 years and wrote about it. He wrote about Genesis. He wrote in Genesis the creation of the earth, the restoration of the earth, the creation of Adam and Eve, then the lifespan of what happened in Adam and Eve, then their children, their grandchildren. Then he wrote about Abraham. Then he wrote about the patriarchs, Abraham, Isaac. Hallelujah. Jacob, what happened with Jacob? So many years, I think around close to 1500 to 2000 years, he traveled in the realms of the spirit. But yet, his lifespan on earth was 130 years. Then how did he know things that was by the Spirit of God? Are you understanding the calculation of heaven? Of the times of heaven is not as the calculation of the times of the earth. Are you understanding that? Hallelujah. So, now coming back to the tree of life. When the Bible is saying that the tree of life yields its fruit every month, there are two interpretations to it. One interpretation is, I want to tell you, there are only 2 months that it yielded its fruit. That is the first interpretation to it. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? 2 months or 2 seasons, it yielded its fruit. The first season was before Christ appeared. And the second month or the second season was after Christ came. After Christ came, we know that the throne positions were given to the apostles. The 12 fruit. Okay. And before Christ appeared, the throne positions was taken, was given to the patriarchs of God. Now I can name some of the saints of God who are sitting on the first season 12 thrones. The first month 12 thrones. One of them is surely Abraham. One of them is surely Abraham. How can I say that? I can say that through his conversation with God about Sodom and Gomorrah. That means he was in a throne. One of them is surely who? Abraham. The second one is surely Moses. Hallelujah. The third one is surely Elijah. Why I'm talking Moses? First of all, he had a throne position with God because he was a counselor in the realms of the spirit. Hallelujah. And secondly, Moses and Elijah, when you read Matthew chapter 17, do you remember Matthew chapter 17? In Matthew chapter 17, Jesus took Peter, John and James to the top of the mountain. And when he went to the top of the mountain, the Bible says he transfigured. He was shining like the brightness of the sun. The glory of the Lord was upon him. And the Bible says Moses and Elijah came to discuss his departure, to discuss his journey to Jerusalem. Why they came? Because they were the fruit of the tree of life, executing the counsel of God and how salvation will be accomplished for mankind. Moses and Elijah, two of the 12 fruits of the first month. Hallelujah. People of God, should I continue? Are you understanding? Okay. Two of the 12 fruit of the tree of life. Moses and Elijah. And the next three of them were there with Jesus. Peter, John and James. It was signifying Jesus in the middle. And here Moses and Elijah. And here Peter, John and James. It was like a throne room, where God was there, Jesus was there, the throne of the Lamb, and there were the tree of life on both the sides. Are you understanding the tree of life now? Hallelujah. The tree of life is a mystery system. The tree of life is a mystery system through which the fruit, when people tap into the mystery of the government and the governance of God, those people become the fruit of that very tree. So when the Bible says every month it yielded fruit, the first interpretation to that scripture is there are 2 months. The first month there were 12 positions. I told you the sure positions that will, and I also want to tell you one of the position Isaiah has with God. Hallelujah. There are people in the Bible who were in the throne room. One of the position Ezekiel also has with God. I am talking to you about those who are the fruit of the tree of life. I am talking to you about those who are the stewards, are the conduit of the mystery of the tree of life, and who are sitting there. Hallelujah. Are you understanding the tree of life? Hallelujah. The tree of life is not Jesus. If you go to Bible commentators and some pastors, they, the tree of life. The tree of life is not Jesus. The tree of life is a mystery. The tree of life is a mystery. And then those who can tap into that tree, they can execute and be a conduit and a part and a fruit of bringing the eternal rule, bringing the eternal reign of the kingdom of heaven on the face of the earth. That is the tree of life. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? The second interpretation to it, because when we interpret scripture, there is not only one interpretation to a mystery. There are multiple meanings sometimes unto a mystery. Hallelujah. The second interpretation to the tree of life is it will continue to produce fruit. Every month, that means every season, it will give birth to people who don't have the 12 fruit, but at the throne room of God actually, but they will operate in the realms of the throne position. They will tap into the mystery. Hallelujah. People who walk with God, people who follow God, like in our season, there are people who are the fruit of the tree of life, who are holding throne positions with God in our season right now. So what it is saying, that tree of life, that mystery, will be revealed and people will become its fruit in every season, in every generation. Like in our generation, there are the fruit on earth, which are the fruit of the tree of life, who are called to execute the legislation, the jurisdiction of the heavenly kingdom on the face of the earth through their lives. That is a high ranking to have in the spirit. That is a high ranking with God, to be a fruit of the tree of life. Hallelujah. Are we understanding, people of God? Okay, so I am explaining you Matthew chapter 17. I am not going there. So you can read it afterwards. Jesus was transfigured. Moses and Elijah talking with Jesus. The fruits of the tree of life. Okay, hallelujah. So this tree of life, through the fruit, exercises dominion and God's wisdom on the face of the earth. Okay? Then it says, then let us interpret the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. Okay, then verse 3 also, let me read that. It says that there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him. Hallelujah. 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 The eternal kingdom of God, the tree of life, is the eternal kingdom of Jesus Christ. Write it down. It's very important to understand that. The tree of life is the mystery of the eternal kingdom of Jesus Christ. You know, Jesus will rule over all the kingdoms. All authority, all kingdoms will be under Jesus Christ. The way, anything that is related to power, authority, rule and dominion, there is a mystery to it through which that power, dominion, rule is executed. And the mystery to the eternal reign of Jesus Christ over all the kingdoms is the tree of life. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Let me take you. Now the healing of the nations. So let me come there. The leaves of the tree will be used for the healing of the what? Of all the nations. Now what is the healing of the nation? The healing of the nation is the eradication of the rule of demonic principality that is established through curses. Because when his rule will be established, there will be no curse. There will be no curse ruling the face of the earth. You know, our sister Vetonia is not there. But that day she was saying that the elders in her town or in her city say that someone came and they did not allow him to preach the gospel or something. So he cursed that town. And the elders of the town, the old people say that curse is still there. Do you know what she was saying is a mystery of the spirit? Hallelujah. Yes. When people die, when people are killed, when innocent people are killed, the devil uses the mouth of those innocent people to bring a curse upon the land. And then when that curse is released through that dying person, the demons use that curse to bring the dominion of evil principality and starts to rule that very town. Hallelujah. Gone past the centuries, gone past the decades, we have seen so many world wars, so many things that happened in our world where even pregnant ladies were ripped open and the babies were taken out and killed and they were left to suffer and die. Now, when an innocent lady like that is on the stage of death, there are three things where her mind travels through. There are three realms where first of all, when the person comes to kill her, the spirit of fear and insecurity takes over her. And when the spirit, after the spirit of fear and insecurity takes over her, after that she travels into a realm of begging and plea. She starts to plea to that wicked man who wants to kill her for her life. She starts to plea and she starts to request and she starts to beg, please don't do this. And then when she says that, when she sees that the wickedness of that person is not been becoming merciful at the state of her life, and then the third thing that happens is when they reject the plea of the woman, the third thing that happens is the person kills the woman in spite of she begging. When he rips open the womb to take out the baby and starts to kill and make her suffer, the heart becomes bitter. And because of the wickedness, the heart becomes bitter. And out of the bitterness of the heart, they release, then our innocent blood releases a curse. Oh, the wickedness of this people and of this country, they will never prosper. They will never live long. The bitterness comes in at the end of her life. And that innocent blood releases a curse. Hallelujah. There are so many curses on the land. There are so many curses on the land. The land on which you live, there are ancient curses placed on it. Like Betonia was saying that, I knew the mystery of how it works. Hallelujah. And that's why the Bible says, that Cain was brought to the council meeting and to the throne room, to the justice system, to the courts of God, to be inquired of. And God asked him, where is your brother? And since Cain knew when he killed Abel, there was no human witness. For you to be accused of, there should be either a human evidence that witnessed that you killed that person. And if there is no human witness to prove that, then you know that no one knows that I killed him. And so knowing that there was no evidence, when God came to Cain, Cain told God, am I my brother's keeper? I don't know where he is. Because he knew there was no witness. But in the courts of God, in the realms of God, there you don't require human witness. There is the witness of the blood of Abel crying out. And God said, the blood of your brother is crying out for justice. And so you shall be cursed. Hallelujah. People of God, are you listening to me? Are you apart from those on the screen? Hallelujah. Amen. The blood cried out. The blood cried out, and through the blood, there was a curse placed upon Cain. So there is no requirement of human witness in the courts of heaven. If there is something that can witness in the courts of heaven, it's the blood of an innocent person. And Abel was innocent. Are we understanding? That is how curses come into the picture. Yes, the innocent blood, the innocent people are used to bring curses. Are you understanding that? I'm explaining you how curses come on the land. Hallelujah. Now, when a martyr, you know, a martyr who is killed for Jesus, when he dies, his blood will not be used to, you know, he will not have the bitterness to utter curses at the end of his life. But he releases the salvation of Jesus when he dies. He releases a legacy when he dies. Okay, let me explain that to you. Do you remember Stephen, who died for the Lord? And the Bible says at that they brought him outside the city, and then when they were stoning him, his heart did not become bitter at the end. His heart said, Lord, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. Hallelujah. So a martyr, when they die, even at the stage of death, when demons can make their heart bitter, even at that stage, they keep their heart pure. And the Bible says that heavens were opened and Jesus stood up to receive Stephen to him. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Okay, so when martyrs die, they leave a legacy. Do you know why Saul became Paul? One of the root reasons why he became Paul, because he saw Stephen's love. He saw Stephen's heart. And he knew when a person is killed like that, a person curses. But how can this man bless and forgive? Because when Stephen was dying, the Bible says that Saul was standing there witnessing his death and people were laying cloaks. Let me tell you the picture in reality. Saul was a radical Jew who was against Christians always. So people took Saul, you are a radical man, you are the student of Gamaliel, you are a Pharisee of the Pharisees, let us kill this man Stephen. They dragged Saul, then when they were going to stone, something in Saul stopped him and he did not stone. And they said, oh Saul, why you are not stoning? Okay, you are good for nothing, stand there and take care of our clothes. And that's why when Jesus came to Saul, he said, Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? It is hard for you to kick against your goads, G-O-A-D-S. The meaning of that is, I am speaking to you through your conscience, in your heart, but you are kicking against that conscience. You are rejecting my voice. And that's why at last I had to encounter you and make you blind. So the Holy Spirit started to witness to Saul from the death of the martyr Stephen. When Stephen was dying, he released not a curse on the land. He released a legacy that came upon Saul. Hallelujah! Are we understanding? The death of the saints of God are precious in the eyes of God. Hallelujah. When the blood of a saint is shed on the ground, that blood does not bring a curse. That blood brings a legacy of another generation and generals of God to stand there. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? And that, okay. So are you understanding that nations are polluted by curses, and those curses were released by people, by blood that was shed on that land, blood that was shed on the land. Do you know there are curses in our ancestral line because maybe your father killed an innocent man for a property, or your grandfather killed them. And then when they were killing that person, at the last realm of their heart, they become bitter and they said, your generation shall never prosper. So the curse through their blood, which was shed, cries out in the courts of heaven for justice. And that's why you see yourself working hard, but you never prosper, because there is a curse that came through the shedding of innocent blood. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we understanding, people? That is how curses started to rule over lands and over people. It started off by a murder, and Cain killed Abel. You see that in the Bible? And after that shedding of blood happened, the curses started to, because Cain started to give birth to evil generation and legacy. And then one of the grandsons of Cain, that is Lamech, I told you, you can read afterwards, Lamech, he was like Cain, he also killed a man. So the devil started to use Cain's generation to shed innocent blood, and through those innocent people, curses started to come upon the face of the land, and through those curses, evil principality, Satan started to use those curses to bring destructions, calamity, starvation, hallelujah, drought in nations. So the nations have to be healed. And the Bible says the leaves of the tree of life will be used for the healing of the nations. Hallelujah. 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 Are we understanding? The tree of life, the first element, that is the 12 fruit, will be used to execute justice. The 12 fruit will be used to execute the power and dominion and rule of God on the face of the earth. The tree of life and the leaves of the tree, that element of leaves will be used to cleanse the nations of curses. And that's why the Bible says in verse number 4. Okay, sorry, not verse number 4. That's why the Bible says in verse number 3 that there shall be no more curses after the nations are healed. Are you understanding the mystery of the tree of life? Hallelujah. Okay. Ezekiel chapter number 47. Let's go to Ezekiel chapter number 47. Ezekiel chapter number 47. Do you know what it talks about? Ezekiel 47, have you meditated? It talks about the river that flows from the throne room. And then it talks about the tree that are placed on either sides of the river. Okay, let me not go into that in detail, but let me go to verse number 12. 47 verse number 12. Look at it. It says, along the bank of the river, on this side and that, will grow all kinds of trees used for food. Their leaves will not wither and their fruit will not fail. Hallelujah. The fruit, I told you what is the fruit. It shall not fail. If you are in that position where you become the fruit of the tree of life, holding a position, a throne position with God, it's impossible for you to fail. Because you have become a part of an immortal government which will never die. Hallelujah. Are we understanding, people? Yes. Listen to me now. It says, they will bear fruit every month. The same thing is written here. They will bear fruit every month because their water flows from the sanctuary. Their fruit will be for food and their leaf for medicine. Their leaves for medicine. So the leaves of the tree of life are used for the healing of the nations. The leaves are used for what? Healing of the nation. And the fruit is used to feed. It's used for food. Hallelujah. So what is the fruit? It is used for food. That means the fruit is also signifying of the food which will be given to the nations for eternal life. The food is the gospel. So the tree of life even holds the mystery of the gospel that gives eternal life. Stay with me. Are you understanding? The fruit will be used for food. What is that food signifying? That food is the gospel. That food is the mystery of the gospel of Jesus Christ that gives eternal life to people. Now, coming back, are you understanding now why did God did not allow Adam and Eve to come to the tree of life to eat its food, eat its fruit? Because that fruit can give eternal life. And God does not allow a deployed employee of the government of Satan to have the fruit of the tree of life. they will not be allowed. For you to be allowed, you need to go through the access of the first dimension of the fire of God. Now we will come to the fire of God when you understand the tree of life. Hallelujah. Now let me give you an insight, a revelation. The devil's rule on earth is not complete and not permanent. The devil is ruling, but he is not ruling all areas. Some areas of the earth are being, territories are taken over by the thrones of God, by the people, by the fruit of the tree of life. So the devil does not has a complete rule. There are areas where he cannot operate without the permission of a man sitting there, and that man is having a throne position with God. Hallelujah. Amen. If he wants to bring destruction in a city, but there is a person sitting in that city with a high ranking with God, the devil cannot do it, because that person, through that fruit of the tree of life, the rule and the jurisdiction of God is applied in that very territory. So the devil's rule, listen to me, the devil's rule on earth is not complete and permanent because he does not has access to the mystery of the tree of life, nor he can eat of the fruit of the tree of life. Only those who can have access to the mystery of the tree of life can exercise complete dominion on the face of the earth under the authority of Christ Jesus. Oh, hallelujah. Are we understanding, people? Okay. Devil, let me give you a good news. The devil can never rule the face of the earth in eternity. His rule is for some months, some years. It will last. That's why the Bible says the devil knows that his time is short. Your Bible says that. The devil knows his time is short. Why? Because he does not has access to the mystery. The mystery of the tree of life that is used to dominate the realms of the earth. Only God has that mystery. Only God has that wisdom. That is the tree of life. Hallelujah. Then Jesus again says in the book of Revelation, those who will overcome, I will give him permission to eat of the fruit of the tree of life, in the book of Revelation. Amen. We are people who hold things that the devil does not hold. We have so much of advantage over the kingdom of the enemy because we can tap into the mystery of the tree of life. Oh my God. Hallelujah. Are we understanding, people? Okay. Hallelujah. So are you clear on the tree of life? If you are clear, remove your mute and say amen. And let me go ahead from there.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Listen now. Listen now. Now, coming back to what I want to speak. The dimensions of the fire of God. Now, the Bible says the first fire mentioned in the Bible is in Genesis chapter 3, the flaming sword which was guarding the tree of life. Now to come to the revelation of the dimension of the fire, I had to explain you the mystery of the tree of life. Now when we have understood the mystery of the tree of life, let us understand the two dimensions of the fire of God which is revealed through the flaming sword. The first dimension of the fire of God is the fire to protect the sacred things of God. Write it down. The first dimension of the fire of God is the fire to protect the sacred things of God. The tree of life is a sacred thing of God. It's the sacred element of heaven. Okay, and what other things are the sacred things of God? I will tell you, the sacred things of God is the mystery of God's dominion. Mysteries are sacred. The devil can tap into the intelligence and the human flesh wisdom has that sensual demonic wisdom, but he cannot tap into the mystery that are hidden, because those mysteries are guarded by fire. There is a fire around mystery that protects it. And only the stewards of the mystery, the servants of God, the apostles who can go through the fire, can access those mysteries. Because mysteries are guarded by a dimension of the fire of God. Which the fire that is used to protect the sacred things, the first thing are mysteries. Mysteries, that's why the mysteries are hidden. Hallelujah. Everyone cannot know mysteries. Everyone cannot tap into the mysteries. I have a very powerful anointing and gift over my life to get into mysteries. This is not me. I don't have the wisdom. I did not go to even Bible training college. I sat at the feet of Jesus, longing for his heart, longing for his mind. Hallelujah. So that is a strong gift on me. Of teaching of mysteries. I know that. And those mysteries, I tell you, are guarded by fire. And if you want to access it, the fire, you need to go through that fire to access that. Hallelujah. Fire that guards the sacred thing. The first thing is mystery. The second thing is God's throne. There is fire. Do you know the Bible says that God dwells in an unapproachable light where no man can get in? You know where that light comes from? It comes from the fire that covers the throne of God. Oh, Jesus. Yes, I am talking about the first dimension of the fire of God, which protects the sacred things of God. The first is mystery. The second is God's throne. The third are people who are the fruit of the tree of life. That means the people who have throne position, they are the sacred beings of heaven. Oh my God. Do you know what did I say just now? I told that there are people who are sacred beings of heaven. God cannot lose them. So there is a fire that protects them. Because they are sacred for God. Hallelujah. The people who have thrown positions with God are the sacred beings of heaven. The next thing is the people who operate by mysteries. They who are the stewards of mystery. They are protected by the fire of God. The flaming sword that protected the mystery of the tree of life. So that Satan cannot access it. Satan cannot access it. Hallelujah. Amen. Are we understanding, people? You know, the devil does not fear a man who is anointed. He does not fear. He is not afraid of men who are anointed. He is not afraid of men even who carry gifts. He is afraid of men who are the stewards of the mystery of God. Who know the wisdom of God, the hidden mystery of God. Because there is fire all around them. They are the sacred men of heaven. And if there is anything sacred, that dimension of the fire will protect them. Hallelujah. Are we understanding? Okay. Okay, let me give you a few scriptures. 2 Kings chapter number 6 verse 17. 2 Kings chapter number 6 verse 17. The Bible says where Elijah stayed, there was fire surrounding him. Why? Because he was a steward of the mystery of God. Because he was a person who was the fruit of the tree of life, executing the justice system of God in the nation of Israel on the face of the earth. That's why there was this dimension of fire when the enemies came. He said, why are you worrying my servant? Let God open your eyes, brother. Bro, let God open your eyes. And when he saw horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. That was the fire to protect a sacred person on earth. That is Elisha. Are we understanding, people? So that is the first dimension. Then Zechariah chapter number 2 verse 5. Not going there. Zechariah chapter number 2 verse 5. God says, I will be a wall of fire around Jerusalem to protect my Jerusalem. Why? Because Jerusalem is sacred. Hallelujah. The first dimension of God, the first dimension of the fire of God is to protect and to cover the sacred things of heaven. Are we understanding? Okay. So the flaming sword was going all around what? The tree of life, because it is interpreted as the fire that was protecting the mystery that is used for God's governance and dominions over the face of the earth. The second dimension of the fire of God. Are we ready? The second dimension of the fire of God is the fire to access mystery. The second dimension is what? The fire to access mystery. Remove your mute and say the fire to access mystery.
Fire to access
mystery. Yes. The fire to access mystery. The fire to access mystery. The fire which is the light of revelation to access the hidden secrets in alignment with the sword. The sword and the fire in alignment. Now, the thing about mystery and secrets are, now I heard an American preacher. He was preaching that secrets of the Lord are secret. It cannot be found in the Bible. That is wrong. Every mystery aligns and finds its expression in this word. How many mysteries I have explained you without the word? Tell me. How many mysteries? None of them. Everything I explain it to you, I bring it in. The Lord aligns it to the word. That's why you see the sword and the fire together. The spirit and the word together. Every rhema word of God will align with the written word of God. I tell you. And if you say that man of God was saying secrets of the Lord are secret, it's not even in the Bible. It's with me. Oh my God. The secrets and the mysteries of God will always, the fire will always be with the sword. Hallelujah. In alignment. The fire to access mystery is not the fire alone, it's with the sword, that is with the word. Hallelujah. Amen. Are you understanding that? Oh Lord, help your people to understand in Jesus' name. Okay, listen to me. See, the fire to access mystery, because mystery is hidden. Where it is hidden? Inside the fire. Mystery is hidden inside the fire. Only when these three young men, Shadrach, Meshach and Abednego, went in the fire, could they see Jesus. Amen. The mystery of Christ was revealed inside the fire. Amen. And then Nebuchadnezzar, by the privilege and the mercy of God, got eyes to see through the fire. And he saw the Son of God inside the fire. The mystery of Christ is inside the fire, hidden in the fire. Satan cannot access it. And the children of the flesh cannot access it. You have to find access through the fire. Go through the fire to tap. To tap into the hidden mystery of God. Oh my Lord. Hallelujah. God. Hallelujah. God is a God who rules by wisdom and by mysteries. I tell you, this God that I serve, I am telling you that he is a God of mysteries. Mysteries. Hallelujah. 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Okay, let me see, where is that verse? Yeah, it's in 1 Corinthians chapter number 2. Chapter number 2, verse number 7 onwards. Let's read verse number 7 onwards. But we speak the wisdom of God in a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God ordained before the ages of our glory. What is Apostle Paul saying? We speak the wisdom of God, what? Encapsulated in a mystery. The mystery which is hidden by God before the ages of glory. God is an eternal being. There is no beginning and no end. He always existed. That is the mighty fact about God, the truth about God. And the advantage he has over the devil is the wisdom of his ancient days. Because the devil came after so many time pass, after time passed. He is a created being. He did not existed from eternity. The person who existed from eternity and no one created him is God alone. So he is the ancient of days. His hairs look as white as wool, signifying that he is the ancient of days, carries the ancient wisdom that he has kept hidden. Hidden in what? In fire. Hallelujah. So then it says, verse number 8, which none of the rulers of this age knew, for had they known, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. So if the rulers of the age, I told you who are the rulers of the age, the demons are under the, do you remember that? Under the current principality that is ruling, the current party. Do you remember I told you about the Democrats and the Republican example and how the ministers of the current party are ruling, but the other party is there, but their ministers are not ruling. So those are ruling powers. The ruling powers was the principality of Rome at that time of Jesus. Those rulers of darkness did not know, because the fire covered the mystery that Jesus, they are putting this Jesus on the death, on the cross, but this Jesus, when he dies, he will break the veil of death and give access to people to approach the throne room of God by his blood, and then snatch away the keys of death and Hades from Satan through his blood. They did not know this mystery, and because they were unaware of the mystery of the death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, they played a part in a role which was used for their own downfall. That is how foolish the devil becomes to you when you operate by the wisdom of God. He looks like a fool to you. He plays a part in bringing you down, but he does not know that he is lifting you up. That is the power of God's mystery. They did not knew, that's why they crucified the Lord of glory. Hallelujah. We are living in an age where anointing is placed above all the gifts. Anointing, it's not anointing, I'm telling you. It's mystery. It's mystery. Hallelujah. Okay. Verse number 9. But as it is written, eye has not seen, nor ear has heard, nor have entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. No eye has seen. Why? Because it's hidden. And the access will be given through the fire. The flaming sword is guarding mysteries. The fire to access mystery. Then it says, verse number 10. Verse number 10. Listen to this. But God has revealed them to us through his spirit. That is fire. The spirit is the fire. Through his spirit. For the spirit searches all things. Yes, the deep things of God. Do you know there are four deep things of God? The first is the mind of the Lord. You know what is the mind of the Lord? The spirit of wisdom and understanding, counsel and might, knowledge and of the fear of the Lord. That is the mind of the Lord. I don't have time to go there. The second deep thing of God is the heart of the Lord, the burden that he carries. You know, God has feelings. He has a burden towards nations. When Isaiah prophesied about Babylon, about Moab, about Egypt, he said the burden for Egypt, The burden, he did not say the prophecy, he said the burden. So the prophecy is a burden in the heart of God. That's the prophetic ministry, where you tap into the dimension of one of the deep things of God, that is the heart of God and the burden of God. The first thing is the mind of the Lord, the thoughts of God. The second thing, the deep thing of a mystery, is the heart of the Lord. The third thing of a mystery, the deep thing, is the predestined plan of God. Do you know that your plan, your script is already written? I'm going to post a sermon about the written script of God, the ancient script of God. So have a look at that, because that is the predestined written script that God has written for people. For us to tap into that, we need to access through the fire, that mystery. That is the third thing, deep thing of God. The fourth deep thing of God is the revelation of His written word. The deep things of God. Do you know there is not only one mystery? As per the scripture, there are seven mysteries. As per in the scripture, recorded in the scripture. Hallelujah. Those are hidden, and access can only be found when you go through the Spirit, when you walk in the Spirit. That is the fire. So let me end here. Let me give you only this much. Okay, let me give you and feed you only this much for tonight. So I told you, I explained you the mystery of the tree of life, and I explained you what is the tree of life, and then I told you the dimensions of the fire. The fire, this is what I said now, the fire to access mystery, that is one of the dimension of the fire of God. And then the fire to for the protection of sacred things. Two dimensions. There are more dimensions to the fire of God that we will look at afterwards in the next meetings. Hallelujah. Let us pray. Father, we want to thank you. We want to give you praise. We want to give you honor, Lord. Equip your people with your wisdom. Let mysteries be unveiled to them so that they can fight a good fight of faith. That they will receive an advantage to defeat the devil and to keep the devil under their feet always, operating through a mystery. Oh Father, I pray, even as you reveal the mystery of the tree of life, which is the mystery to rule and dominate the face of the earth, I pray that you will raise up people, oh Lord, who become a partaker of that tree, a fruit of that tree, through whom you can execute justice, you can execute the rules and the word of heaven to have authority and dominion over the nations. And the leaves of that tree will be used for the healing and the cleansing of the nations in Jesus' mighty name. Father, we want to thank you for your presence. Thank you for helping me, Holy Spirit. Oh Lord, Holy Spirit, I pray that you will continue to speak to us, Lord. Hallelujah, in Jesus' mighty name. Thank you, Lord, that this meeting and every meeting is planned by you. Whoever comes in the meeting is planned by you already in the realms of the Spirit. Hallelujah. And Father, every person that who is available here, you are chosen by God. Hallelujah, for global dominion, to bring the reign of Jesus on the face of the earth, in the mighty name of Jesus. Father, we give you the praise, honor, and glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. Let's celebrate Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. 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 God bless you.
Thank you very much.